I don't know what he's talking about. We're going to go to Mark chapter 14 here in just a second. I wanted to just say a couple of things here. Thankful for the opportunity to be here to see this grandbaby. And Lord sure has been good to me. I'm thankful for this church. It's amazing how many memories I have here. Thankful for Brother Allen and his family and Sister Linda. I miss her. I know she's feeling bad and maybe get a chance to see her. But it's a blessing to see everybody here. And I wanted to just encourage you as a church to remember something. I graduated from PBI in 1996. And I was asking Allen if he had his notes on how to pastor in a pandemic, and he didn't have them either. Church, there ain't a pastor in this country that is trying not to do the best thing for his church. And if you think your pastor is trying to kill you because he invites you to come to church during the pandemic, something's wrong with you. He wants to help you. And I don't know you. I don't know anything's going on here, but I'm just saying to you, don't get that mindset. That's the liberal mindset. That is a foolish mindset. We as Christians are supposed to have the joy of the Lord and courage. If you're saved and you get coronavirus and you die, you're in heaven. I'm not saying that you want to, but for crying out loud, we're getting churches that are going through splits. People are mad at each other over this thing. And the pastor is doing everything he can to be a blessing. I know because I'm in the same boat. People want to plant their political flag in the middle of the church pew because they want to wear a mask or don't want to wear a mask, all that stuff. Just sit in the back of the car during the storm, be quiet, and put your seatbelt on so that he can drive. I don't know if it needed to be said, but I feel like it needs to be said everywhere because every pastor is going through some pressure you just can't imagine. And he's talking about, oh, what happens if this happens, and we're just trying to do our best to figure things out. I know I appreciate Brother Allen and his leadership and his kindness. It just, he's been a role model for me, and I'm thankful for that. Another thing that I wanted to say tonight is that I know that there's probably some people watching online. Somebody mentioned maybe Brother Ron Fort and Miss Phyllis Fort are watching. If they are, I want to tell them hello, and sure is a blessing to know they're still faithful. They are huge pillars to me, and I love them, and I hope if they're watching, they know that I love them. I haven't got to talk to them in a long time, but it's an honor to preach here and for to know they may be watching. I don't know if they are or not, but thank you for being here tonight. We're going to look at Mark chapter 14. Appreciate Brother Mike's lesson this morning. I'm still been enjoying thinking about those things today. And I will tell you this, you ought to pay attention to what he was saying about the will of God. And it's not complex. We make it complex, the will of God. God can't make the will of God complex because we couldn't handle it. It has to be pretty simple. And I'm thankful for that. But what I will tell you is that the devil will do anything he can to get you out of the will of God, to mess up your fellowship with God. That's what he doesn't want you to have. And I want to preach a little bit about that tonight. I want you to turn to Mark 14, look at verse 26 here. The Bible says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." He is a Baptist. He's not the first pope. He is a Baptist. Verse 30, "And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be weary, or to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, Lord, I come to you tonight, and I pray again, Lord, that you'd please bless the services. Lord, I pray you would be here tonight. I don't know what all is in people's hearts and their needs are, and I couldn't minister to it if I did know, Lord, and it's probably a good thing. It's so overwhelming. But I pray you would minister, and I pray you'd get the devil out of here. I pray you'd cover this place in the blood, and I pray you'd show up, and I pray you'd have liberty in people's hearts that they might hear the word of God. And, Lord, I pray you'd draw people to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and I pray you'd help us to be determined to fellowship with you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You know, I think if you're a Baptist, you know that fellowship is a staple of being a part of a church. Amen. We used to call it dinner on the grounds. I'm sure y'all still do around here. Dinner on the grounds. It's about fellowships. Amen. Fellowships meant food. Yeah. You don't fellowship with somebody sitting over a cup of coffee. Yeah. That's just dumb. Fellowship means food, and the more food, the better. You have better fellowship with more food. How many of you know what I'm saying? Okay, you're with me, all right. And the reason that's a case, folks, is because fellowship is a part of the Christian life. It's the thing that holds any relationship together. You don't have a family relationship without fellowship. Now, the food thing is, yeah, okay, I'm joking around a little, okay? But the truth of the matter is, sitting around and having a good time together and the fellowship that comes is what keeps a relationship together. This, a couple weeks from now, we got Thanksgiving. That's an important time of family fellowship in a lot of places. It is for me. It's more important than any other holiday there is for us because we get together as a family and sit around and laugh and make fun of each other and have a good time and do all the things we do. And it's a staple of keeping a relationship together. My wife and I today have been married 29 years. Amen. You know how that happens? Fellowship. Being together. Doing things together. She works 12-hour shifts in the hospital with coronavirus patients, okay? 4 days a week, and I tell you, it's a blessing to be with my wife on the road for 3 days, just sitting there doing nothing. Yep. I enjoy it. She enjoys it. We enjoy being together. It's family. Family's that way. You know what? This young couple's fixing to get married. I pray the Lord bless you. Amen. That's a big part of the relationship. It's communication, fellowship, getting together, doing things together. The church's relationship to each other. I dare say somebody in this room is mad at somebody else in this room. Can you believe that? When fellowship gets broken in here, the devil will cause trouble. He's trying to do that in this church. It's just the way it is. Fellowship gets broken in a church, and I'll just tell you, if it gets broken in a church, it's most likely to get broken with God. And that's what the devil's after. I mean, the Lord creates Adam and Eve, puts them in a garden. They're walking through the garden in the cool of the day. The Bible said, I don't know how long that went on, but they went through the garden and the Lord just talked with them. What did he say? How's the lions doing, Adam? And so, well, they're kind of getting a little rough with the giraffes and the water buffalo, Lord. We didn't have a talk with them. Adam said, Lord, what are they doing up in heaven? He said, well, the angels have been rearranging all the streets of gold around, you know, and we've had a few problems putting in the dishwashers in a few mansions we're building. I don't know what they were thinking about or talking about, but I know they were talking and fellowshipping. And I mean, everything was great. And the Bible talks about Enoch, and Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. What do you mean he walked with God? It wasn't just that they walked down the same road together and didn't say anything. They were communicating with one another. The Bible says that the fellowship was so good in the Lord's eyes, he took him home with him. That's pretty good. I imagine old David on the backside of, you know, some hill somewhere there in Israel with a herd of sheep there, you know, kind of maybe surrounded in a meadow there at night, you know, watching the campfire pop and crackle, you know, and staring into that fire and hearing those sheep bleat. Sitting up there in the morning, strumming that harp, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and boy, 'tis heaven below my Redeemer to know. I know there's been a lot of trouble in our hearts in the last several months and weeks or so, but I'll tell you something, folks, you need to fellowship with God. I know tonight you may be tired. I know tonight you may be troubled. You may be going through things. You may be away from God tonight. But I want you to know the Lord wants to fellowship with you. There's David on the backside of that. No phone to interrupt him. No notifications from Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever else you can possibly imagine. No text message. You know what the problems with fellowship today is? You're running at 100 miles an hour and you don't have time. And I'll tell you, that's the devil's trick. Amen. To get you so busy you can't spend time with the people you love. And so 'tis heaven below my Redeemer to know, because fellowship, when you spend that time with the Lord, he talks to your heart, he works in your heart, and that sweet time, as the song says, he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you got your Bible out and you read it and it wasn't just reading it, it was you and God talking? You understand it's different. I mean, listen, I'm guilty as you are. There's times you read your Bible and you read through it, you read the words, you did your duty, you can check the box off the read my Bible through in a year stuff, but you didn't get nothing out of it. And I believe the Lord does that on purpose sometimes to make you draw close to him and want something from him. But when's the last time when you were reading your Bible and the Lord showed you something for you because he was talking to you? See, therein lies the problem. How long has it been since you heard the Lord speak to you? How long has it been since you were in a church service and the preacher was preaching but the Lord was talking to you? He was putting his finger on something and the Lord began to ring your bell and maybe the tears began to flow. And maybe the Lord began to deal with you about coming to the altar or getting some sin right or getting something right with somebody that you've been at odds with. Or I don't know what it is, but when's the last time the Lord spoke to your heart? I know this, and I don't criticize. You people in the back, please forgive me. I'm not criticizing you. You're probably all right with God, but I know this. The devil wants to distract you from the fellowship. And the further back you sit, the more distractions there are. You get to see everything at the back. People, the preacher sees it anyway. But you'd be amazed at the way the devil distracts you from hearing the word of God. Now, I'm trying to get everybody to move forward. He asked me to say that, okay? I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. He didn't ask me to say that. The Lord wants to fellowship with you. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 94. I'm going to show you a couple of things. We're going to do a little bit of Bible study for just a couple of minutes. Look at Psalm chapter 94. Psalm chapter 94. You know what broke fellowship? It was sin. Adam and Eve walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. What happened? They ate the fruit. They disobeyed God. And sin broke fellowship with the Lord. In Psalm chapter 94, look at verse 20. He says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? You know what the answer to that question is? No. God and man in sinful state can't have fellowship. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that's the reason why Jesus Christ came into this world. Talked a little bit about that this morning, about you and the Lord and the ark and getting in, and you and the Lord being able to fellowship and being in with him. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." If you're lost, you don't have the ability to fellowship with the Lord. When you get saved, now you can. That's what the joy of salvation is. The Bible said that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What was his purpose in reconciling sinners? It was so that we could fellowship with him again. God loves you and wants to fellowship with you. There, I said it. Some of y'all are like, "Oh, God doesn't love anything." Well, go jump in a lake, man.
Amen.
You know what the Lord's desire is? For somebody who will come to him and who wants to get right, who wants to repent, who say, "I'm sorry, Lord. I'm tired of the hog pen. I'm tired of my sin. I want help." He's not sitting there looking for 45 different hoops for them to jump through.
Amen.
He wants to restore the fellowship with you. He wants to. The Bible said if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, you know, the brother was talking about it a minute ago. He gave a testimony talking about the long-suffering and the loving kindness of the Lord. And I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 9 for just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 9. I want you to think about just a couple of things here. There's two attributes of the Lord that allow us to fellowship with him, and even whenever we're not right for us to fellowship with him. One of them is called long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means in the Greek? Some of y'all went, "Uh-oh." It means the same thing it means in the English. This is deep. It means long-suffering. You know what that means? It's not short-suffering. I don't like suffering in any way, shape, or form. But I sure am glad the Lord is willing to suffer to put up with me so we can fellowship. In Jeremiah chapter 9, look at verse 24. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." We read in Galatians chapter 5, you read about the fruit of the Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering. Here is mentioned a word called loving kindness. Look over in Psalm 36. Psalm 36. We're going to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 36. What you find long-suffering means is that it means to suffer long with someone. You ever suffered long with someone? You ever put up with them for a while? You ever had to suffer through problems and situations with somebody? And you did it because you cared about them. You had to deal with this. You didn't want to just kill them because you cared about them. There's another one here, this thing called loving kindness. I liken this to a marriage. You know what love is. You know what kindness is. But to be kind to somebody and love them whenever you don't want to is a good example of troubles and trials that come in a marriage. I mean, you know, serious stuff like they put the toilet paper on different than you did. Or they only filled the ice trays half full. Oh my goodness. That's putting up with one another. You've got to learn to tolerate one another. You're not going to be able to have a marriage that lasts 2 weeks if you can't learn to have some loving kindness. Here's the Lord up in heaven. Let me ask you, when's the last time you checked your record with him and asked him, "Lord, have I done everything you wanted me to do today?"
Amen.
And if you did, and you could ask the Lord that, what would he say? Would he say, "Maybe you forgot to give that person a track, and you didn't pray about this, and we shouldn't have gone there, and we shouldn't have thought about that, and shouldn't have said it that way?" The loving kindness of the Lord is what's keeping us going, folks. In Psalm chapter 36, look at verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Look at verse 10. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Look over in Psalm chapter 40, just a couple pages there to your right. Psalm chapter 40. We're talking about the loving kindness of God. I'm standing here tonight looking at a bunch of people, and we just don't realize how holy God is, how and his ability, if he wanted to crush us, but he doesn't, because he's long-suffering and his loving kindness constantly is prevails in our life. Psalm chapter 40, look at verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually, look, preserve me. Oh, when David commits adultery with Bathsheba and commits murder, Psalm 51, this is the psalm of repentance here. In verse 1, David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. He's relying on it. Yeah. According to unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Look at Psalm chapter 63. One more here. Psalm chapter 63. And then we'll go back to Mark 14. David said this, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Now go back to Mark chapter 14 for just a minute. Now I'm bringing this to you tonight to ask you some questions. Would you put up with you if you were God? I mean, would you put up with your thinking, with the words you say to other people? Would you put up with you getting mad at your children the way you do? Or your wife or your husband or your coworker or the McDonald's worker who's too slow than you should be? Who gets your order wrong? Would you put up with you? And the Lord still does. You know how I know? Because you're here. If God gave us what we deserved, we'd be in hell tonight. But even after we're saved, we still act like we're lost sometimes. Amen. You know, here in this passage, what you've got is the story. It starts out that they're in fellowship with the Lord. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 26, you know what they're doing? They're singing a hymn. And if you find out over in the book of John, we'll go there in a minute. This is where Jesus is washing their feet. They're having the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper there. They're eating together. They're having a fellowship time. And that's where it starts off. And then the Lord begins to preach. Listen, you may not have any interest in listening to me, but if the Lord was standing here, would it make a difference? And here's the Lord, and he said this. He said, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Now the Lord begins to tell them, it's because it's written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. He said, I'm going to go before you into Galilee. And Peter doesn't like what the preacher's saying. This is the Lord. And Peter says, now, Lord, listen. I went to Bible school. And I got all the dispensations figured out in the millennium. And how long the tribulation's going to be. Right? And I know how the rapture's going to come off in the seasons and the times. And I got all this figured out in Old Testament salvation. New Testament salvation is different. And Lord, I know you are God, but you're just wrong. Do you think that's just stupid? But that's what he did. The Lord said, listen, tonight you're going to be offended. And you know what Peter said? Uh-uh. Lord, I'll die with you. I have said it before. I've had this happen before. I'm sure Brother Allen has too. Somebody gets up in church and says, I just want everybody to know how much I love Faith Baptist Church. Man, it's the greatest church. And preacher, you're just a blessing to me. And they're gone by Wednesday night. What happened? They didn't have much loving kindness or long suffering, that's for sure. The Lord said, the Lord said, you're going to be offended, you're going to be scattered, and Peter didn't believe what the Lord said. Look at the end of verse 31. The end of the verse says, likewise also said they all. This wasn't just Peter. He's the loudmouth who gets the credit, but I'll just tell you, they all said, I'm not going to be offended. And I'll die with you, Lord. We've seen you for 3.5 years and we love you, Lord. They came out just after an August meeting. Amen. I mean, when the August meeting happens, you're ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I'm not going to be offended. We're going to live for Jesus Christ. And then Monday shows up. They didn't believe what the Lord said. They didn't take the Lord serious. Look down there in Mark chapter 14 there. Look at verse 32. The Bible says there, they came to Gethsemane. He said there at the end, sit ye here while I pray. In verse 33, he says, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. So the Lord says, listen, something's really bothering me, and I'm going to go pray. You guys sit here and you guys watch. Look in verse 37. And he cometh and find them sleeping. What a friend. I got something really on my heart and I need to, I'm really wanting to pray about this. You guys just say right here. And everybody said, okay, Lord, we're behind you. We really care about you, Lord. Anything we can do? He said, just sit here and watch. Okay, Lord. Caring friends, man. They're, you know what the problem was? They didn't see how serious the moment was fixing to get. They didn't believe what he said just a few minutes before this, that they were all going to be scattered and offended. I'm sitting here looking at every one of us sitting in here now. We do not know what tomorrow brings. We do not know what the presidency is going to bring. We do not know what the coronavirus is going to bring. And you know what happens when it's time to pray about it? We get where we're lackadaisical and we want to just go to sleep. And verse 37, the Bible says there that the Lord comes and finds them sleeping. And he says there in verse 37, he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. You know what he was saying? Peter, there's coming a situation that you're not expecting. Peter, you don't understand how serious this is going to be. Peter, the very thing you were blabbing your mouth about is fixing to hit you right in the face. And Peter, you need to be praying, Peter. This is no joke. You don't understand how serious this is. You know what Peter was doing? He was sleeping. Peter, pray. Pray, Peter. In verse 40, the Bible says he goes again. He finds them asleep again. He goes and prays again, comes back and finds them asleep again. And I'll just tell you, in verse 43 down through verse 49, you find that the right conditions are exactly what the Lord said would happen, brought about their fellowship's demise. What you find is that Peter's in the garden. He's ready to fight for the Lord. They come to get him. Peter takes out his sword and tries to take that guy's head off. He cuts his ear off. The Lord won't let him fight. He tells him, put his sword back up. Peter gets mad. The disciples get scared. And verse 50, it says, and they all forsook him and fled. In less than 20 verses, they went for, we're going to die for you, to leaving him behind. How's that possible? You know, I will tell you, if these kind of friends are what you have, who needs enemies? I mean, this would be considered an irreconcilable circumstance, you would think. Here's the Lord betrayed by one of the very 12 that he picked there in verse 44. It was Judas who betrays him. In verse 66, I'm not going to read all this stuff, but you can read, here's where Peter denies him. He said, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He does. And in one of those situations, he cusses and swears. I mean, he's so mad, or he's so frustrated at the Lord. He has forsaken him. He said, I don't care. And he's mad. He doesn't want to be associated with the Lord. And he, in order to just make it real, he just says, blankety blank, no, I'm not one of them Christians. Thomas, and after Christ dies, Thomas doubts and says, I don't care what he said. I don't believe. He doubted. Peter, mad at the Lord, and in chapter 15, verse 25, you know the story. They take Jesus and they crucify him. Listen, that is the close ones to Jesus Christ. It's the end of their hope, and the very last act before they saw him crucified was they had offended at the Lord, and they all scattered. I was a hospice chaplain for several years, And I'll just tell you, there is nothing pleasant in a family that has aught with one another when somebody dies and they're not able to reconcile. It consistently haunts them. You know, folks, I'll just tell you, the hindrances to fellowship are always directed because of sin. A lost person cannot fellowship with God till they get saved. Amen? How many of you understand that? Would you say amen?
Amen.
The Bible says in John, you're not a child of God till you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the world, though they go to church and light the candles and do all the things they do, I tell you, they're not in fellowship with God. I don't care what they say, but until you trust Christ as your Savior, you're not even in the family yet. But I'll just tell you, the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And you can get to a place where you are unrepentant and do not care and are mad or frustrated. Your pride gets hurt. Maybe you wouldn't say it openly, I'm mad at you, God. But you can get to a place where you're not in fellowship with the Lord and you're still sitting in church.
Amen.
The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Are you with me?
Amen.
You know what I find? I find this, that before anybody gets out of church, they're out of church in church. Before you'll ever forsake the Lord and be offended and where you'll be scattered, you'll be in church and you'll have an attitude of, I don't care. I don't want to participate. Why should I give? The missionaries don't matter that much. Listen, he said, watch. He said, pray. You don't realize what's coming at you. It makes a difference in your family. It makes a difference in your future. It makes a difference when your heart's not right with God. John chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 10, it said, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. He's talking about when he washed the feet of the disciples there. Peter said to him, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And the Lord said, if I don't wash you, you're not with me. And the Lord said, Peter said to him, Lord, wash me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. He said, listen, I don't need to wash any part but just your feet, because that's what's getting dirty in this world. You need a constant washing, Peter. He was trying to illustrate something to him. Walking in this world, get your feet dirty. And you constantly need to have somebody wash your feet. The Bible, the Word of God, cleanse you. And that you need to be in fellowship with God so he can say, that's wrong. We need to make this right. You constantly need that. The Bible said in Isaiah 59, he said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And he's hid his face from you that he will not hear. It isn't a case that God can't hear. It's that God says, your music stinks and you know it. Your attitude stinks and you got a ought toward the preacher, ought toward your wife or your husband or another church member, and you and I can't fellowship till these things are taken care of. Now, I didn't say the Lord didn't want to fellowship with you. I said the Lord can't until those things are taken care of. They're a hindrance. Now go back to Mark chapter 14 and let me illustrate something to you for just a minute. Sometimes, and I've been guilty as much as anybody, when a preacher preaches on stuff like this, the attitude is portrayed that God's up in heaven and he's so holy, when you break fellowship, he just wants to beat you upside the head. And I'm going to tell you, that's not true. He wants to fellowship with you even when you're not right and he can't. That's the way the Father is. That's the way a good father is. It's not that he says, well, you've messed up and I'm going to hold this against you for the rest of your life. That's how we are sometimes. It shouldn't be that way. Matthew 18 is given to you in the Word of God as a church so you can reconcile with one another when offenses come. Not so that you'll be mad at each other for the next 6 months. Quench the spirit. Souls won't get saved. That's not the point of it. Mark chapter 14, watch this. In verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus tells them, but after that I am risen, watch, I will go before you into Galilee. That is the finishing of the statement, all ye shall be offended me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Can I tell you, the Lord knew prior to the night of the events that were going to take place. You and I don't know what each other are going to do, but the Lord knew what these disciples were going to do. He knew Judas would betray him. He knew Peter would deny him. He told him that. He knew Thomas would doubt him. And he knows where you've been today. And you know what he said? After I'm risen, I want to meet you in Galilee. You know, they didn't love him like they said. They said, we're going to die with you, Lord. In John chapter 21, the Lord said, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter didn't love him more than these. He denied him. Judas, while he was washing Judas's feet, he knew what he was going to do. Would you do that? Would you be a blessing to somebody you knew had stabbed you in the back or was going to stab you in the back? And Jesus Christ looked at that man and he washed his feet anyway. But fellowship was broken and the Lord knew what was going to happen before it happened and he said, I still want to meet you in Galilee. Are y'all with me tonight? There is a desire in the heart of God to restore and to reconcile with you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter where you're at tonight, the Lord is ready to forgive. He is ready to restore. Psalm chapter 86 says the Lord is ready to forgive. He's gracious, full of compassion. The story is told of a young girl who had gotten saved and she wanted to be a member of the church. And somebody asked her, the preacher asked her, said, "Where were you a sinner before you received the Lord Jesus into your life?" And the preacher, she said to the preacher, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, are you still a sinner?" The little girl says, "To tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever." She said, the preacher said, Well, what change have you experienced?" She said, "I don't know how to explain it except that I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now that I'm saved, I'm a sinner running from sin." And sometimes, even as a sinner running from sin, I fall right in the middle of it. And if we're not careful, we get to this place where we think, I can't have fellowship with God. I'm not right with God. And you get to a place where you feel like the devil, and the devil brings this to your mind, God won't forgive you. Listen to me. He wants to meet you in Galilee. Look at Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I don't know where you're at tonight. But you can be sitting here with a tie on and a dress on and know how to say amen at just the right places when the song is being sung. But the Lord still wants to have fellowship with you even if your heart's not in the right place. Maybe you're here sitting here tonight and you've been through adultery. Maybe you're committing adultery now. Maybe you're looking at things online you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe you're dealing with some pornography you shouldn't be looking at. Maybe you've been to prison. Maybe you've been through divorce. Maybe two or three. Maybe you've done some drugs and still maybe are doing some drugs. Maybe you've been part of a culture of lies and you're a liar and you're lying tonight by telling everybody you're okay and you know things aren't okay. Maybe you've gone out and you've tattooed your whole body up and you've gauged your ears and pierced yourself through with as many things there is in a tackle box you can find. Maybe you're so angry inside you'll yell and scream at your kids and scream at your husband and you get mad at anybody who cuts you off and you let them have it. Maybe you've got a problem with alcohol and you're still getting drunk. Maybe you're the person that steals from your neighbor and you are frustrated with people that steal from you, but you'll steal from them. Maybe you're the biggest gossip in town. You're looking to see what you can find out about somebody here tonight and post it all over Facebook and tell everybody about it. Maybe you're the person committing fornication sitting here tonight. Maybe you're filled up with so much pride and you're just mad because somebody said something they don't agree with you. Maybe you're too lazy to get out of bed and take care of your family. Maybe you've dishonored your parents. Maybe you've got hatred in your heart towards somebody. You're ready to murder somebody. But I want you to listen. The Lord still wants to fellowship with you. That's how good our God is. We don't comprehend the loving kindness and the long suffering of God. If you come to Him and say, God, I'm sorry, I tell you, He'll forgive you. He'll restore you. He'll put the best robe on you. He'll put a ring on your finger. He'll bring forth the fatted calf. He wants to fellowship with you. Matthew chapter 28, look at verse 16. The Bible says, then the 11 disciples went away into, what's that word? This is where the Lord said He was going to meet them, right? So after the resurrection, they're here now. This is scene two. This is after they said they would never deny Him. They would never be offended, and they all were offended and fled. And here he meets them in Galilee. Knowing what they would do, He still planned to meet them there. The Bible says there in verse 16, He said that He went into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw Him, they worshiped Him, but some doubted. How could you do that? The Lord had just been dead 3 days before. He arose, and here He is in front of them, and they still are doubting Him. Would you doubt the Lord if you saw Him 3 days after He had rose? Not me. I would never do so. But that's what Peter said. Don't we do it? And the Bible says there in verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Not one word is brought up about Peter, you denied me. Thomas, you doubted me. He had gotten all that stuff right, and they're ready to go forward. He didn't hold it against them, and He won't hold it against you. That's where Peter gets right here. It's where the Lord sits around with him around the campfire, and the Lord fellowships with him and brings this thing up and deals with it. This is where the reunion gets together again, and when they get things right, the Bible said in verse 17, when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Listen, you're not going to fellowship with God and not want to worship Him. So you know what we know? If you don't want to worship Him, you're not in fellowship with Him. Some still didn't believe. They doubted. Lord, what's going to happen if coronavirus shuts us down? Well, I wonder, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Lord, what's going to happen if Joe Biden takes our guns? He'll pound for my cold, dead fingers. Yeah, he probably will. Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Have you come to a place in your life where you're going to be offended if all these things happen politically? The Lord's looking for some people to fellowship with Him. Charles Spurgeon told of an evening when he was riding home after a heavy day's work. And he felt weary and depressed when suddenly, as a lightning flash came across the sky, he thought of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, where he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, well, I should think it is, Lord. And he burst out laughing. He said, it seemed to make unbelief so absurd. He said, it was as though some little fish was being very thirsty, was in this stream and was troubled about drinking it dry. And the stream would say, drink away, little fish. My stream is sufficient for thee. He said, it seemed as after 7 years of plenty there in the nation of Israel, a mouse would come to Joseph and say, I don't know if I'm going to make it or not. And Joseph would say, cheer up, little mouse. My granaries are sufficient for thee. Or maybe a man upon a mountain would say to himself, I fear that I shall exhaust all of the oxygen in the atmosphere. The earth might say, breathe away, O man, and fill thy lungs ever. My atmosphere is sufficient for thee. Listen to me tonight. You may be at a place where you have little faith, and that's all it takes to get in fellowship with the Lord. You may be at a place where you're offended, where you've been hurt, where somebody in here's hurt you, or where you're not right with God. And I'll just tell you tonight, oh, I pray that you and God would get together and God could fellowship with you tonight, where you would make things right, where that your heart could be brought before God and say, God, I'm sorry, and I'm a mess, and Lord, I want to be in fellowship with you. 'Tis heaven below, my Redeemer to know. You know, this reunion here in Matthew chapter 28 by the Sea of Galilee is where they brought them, where the Lord brought them to get them to be commissioned to take the gospel out. You know what happened when they got in fellowship with the Lord? You heard the preacher say it. We got all these tracts to give away. They went out of here with the gospel and spread it around the world. How long has it been? God wants to meet you in Galilee tonight. How long has it been since you read your Bible and the Holy Spirit of God dealt with you and showed you something? Amen. How have you messed up? Maybe you betrayed him. Maybe you've run away and you're just trying to get back a little bit. Maybe you've denied him. Maybe you've even cussed and swore, and you're in your life, you're living in such a way that the Lord wouldn't even recognize you hardly. Maybe you've got some bitterness toward God. Well, let me tell you, he wants to fellowship with you. You're going to have to repent. You're going to have to say, where I'm at is wrong. You're going to have to believe his word, and you're going to find then that it's easy to worship him and want to go out and find the lost. But it's because you want to spend time with him. I would like for you to bow your heads this evening for just a minute. I'm going to turn this over. I don't know what Brother Allen wants to do as far as an invitation is concerned, but I want you to think one of these days we're going to be in heaven where you and God are going to be able to fellowship for eternity. If you're here tonight and you're saved, I want you to remember something. Nothing you can do can separate you from the love of Christ. He's ready to forgive you. He's there before you even get there. The question is, will you come to Galilee? You're going to have to leave where you are and go where he's at. Do you love him tonight? Do you love him more than where you're at? Do you love him more than your current circumstances that you're holding on to? Do you love him more than holding on to the political associations you have? More than being accepted by family and friends? How long has it been since you've been in that book and the Lord spoke to your heart? I'm encouraging you tonight to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to meet you in Galilee. I want to fellowship with you. Christians, the Laodicean age is taking people by storm. Don't be a part of that. Fellowship with the Lord. Father, I pray you please bless this invitation tonight. I pray for us as Christians to have a hunger to fellowship with you. Lord, I pray for the people here tonight. Lord, if they haven't been reading their Bible, haven't been praying, maybe they have been offended, maybe they've been hurt, I don't know. I pray you'd help things to be, Lord, evident to them tonight on what it is that they need to do. Maybe they are in fellowship with you. Lord, I don't know. I don't know the people here. But I know this, Lord. I know me. And Lord, I love you and I want to fellowship with you and I enjoy the sweet breezes of heaven. And I pray tonight, Lord, you'd help our hearts to want to worship you. You'd help our hearts to want to love you, to get the gospel out. Lord, may we spend some time with you. Please, Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. I pray, Lord, you'd be real to us, that our salvation would be real. Help us, Lord, to care about the things of God, care about you, want to be around you. Bless this night tonight and this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.